I'm supposed to talk about the two kinds of unbelievers today, but I have something more pressing on my heart, and I want to end the week with this. People have told me over the years, people in the faith, that Martin, the people who say that they believe in eternal torment, they can't really mean it. It's impossible, because if you really believed it, people tell me they don't really believe it. And they say, because Martin, if people did believe in eternal torment, then they couldn't sleep at night. If they truly believed what they're saying, that God is going to eternally torment most of his creation, even if he does it for one of his creatures, that would be gross, but he's going to eternally torment most of his creation. Martin, they couldn't sleep at night. They would be out trying to save the world. They would be desperately knocking on doors. I've heard this for years. They would be knocking on doors, begging people to believe in God to avoid this horrible and impossible fate. But this is what I say to you today. I say to you today that yes, they actually do believe it. They believe it, but their hearts have been so calloused and their consciences have been so, as Paul puts it, I'm going to go to this passage, cauterized, that is, burned. They have no really human feelings anymore for human beings. And yet, odd thing, they come across as friends, as wonderful people, just like when you see the news and you see that somebody becomes a mass murderer or somebody rapes 10 women and cuts them into pieces in his basement, and you go talk to the neighbors like, oh my God, we had no idea he was like this. He was such a nice guy. He would get my newspaper for me, shovel my sidewalk in the winter. And people are, it's unbelievable that somebody's heart could be so dark. I say to you that the hearts of people, whether they're Christians or whatever, who accept and swallow the teaching of eternal torment, they actually believe it. But their hearts are so hard and their conscience is so burned that they don't care what happens to those people. What happens today when somebody, when an old woman is robbed on the sidewalk, somebody snatches a purse of an old woman, or a man throws down a young girl and starts to beat her or rape her, people take out their cell phones and start recording it. There are legions of stories of people who stand by. Bystanders are literally bystanders. It's the rare person that jumps in to do something about it. This is the era we're living in. Not that hearts have not always been this way or that consciences have not always been burned, but that today it's at epidemic proportions and the faith is not spared. That is, those who walk, claim to be of the faith. And I'm speaking specifically of people who can hear, and most people in church, they know the doctrine of eternal torment and they believe it. They're just so hard that they don't care about the people who are going to be tormented for eternity. They shrug and they go, oh, well. And these are people who, again, they look so nice and they seem so calm on the outside and so sweet. But at the same time, they're acting so sweet. They believe that God will eternally torment most people and they're okay with that. Yeah, if they really believed it, they should go out and try to convert people, but they really believe it, but they don't want to go out and convert people because they don't care about people. The Spirit of God is not in these people. They are void of the Spirit of God. They have enough Spirit of God to stand on their two feet, but so did Adolf Hitler. They have enough Spirit of God to walk and breathe and eat, and their heart keeps beating, but they have no conscience. They have no developed conscience. They barely have a conscience. It's been burned off so that parts of it are missing. It's like when your heart has a disease and they go in and they take out a valve, or they replace it with a pig valve, or they have to take out one fourth of your lung. These people have had a half of their conscience removed. by whatever. But they're dangerous people. And you find out how dangerous they are when their mercy or their grace or any kind of passion or pity is to be called upon from them for a fellow member of the religion that they're in, and they don't respond. They can't respond. Christianity is famous for eating its own. Why wouldn't it eat its own? Because this is the attitude that pervades in all religion, and the Christian religion is no exception, is that they do believe that there will be people who will be eternally burned, eternally tortured, including members of their own family, and they just shrug, and they're so far removed from it, their heart is, that they can't even see their own hardness. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit is saying explicitly that in subsequent eras, that's our eras, this is interesting, because what Paul is about to say here, what I'm about to read to you, tells you that the era we're living in is worse spiritually, it's worse on the danger scale than the era Paul lived in. Because he says in subsequent eras, that is, in eras after mine, some will be withdrawing from the faith. That was optimistic. Some, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons, in the hypocrisy of false expressions, their own conscience having been cauterized. I'm going to stop there for now. That was verse 1 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. It's the Spirit is saying. So like Paul right now is on hold, and the Spirit is taking over and saying, Paul, I'm stepping in here. Because Paul can write scripture, and he's writing scripture without saying, oh, by the way, the Spirit is saying explicitly that this is scripture. Don't forget, the Spirit is saying explicitly that this is scripture. No, he says that here. He makes an exception here to point out to you, not that other things aren't inspired, they are, but this is beyond the pale. This is, if I can coin a term, more inspired. This is the Spirit of God shoving Paul completely aside and saying, sit down, boy. I got something shocking to say that even you won't understand or believe. And I can prove to you in this very passage that Paul couldn't even think of what is now happening in our day. That there'd be so many people who name the name of Christ who are so without a conscience, so without a heart, that they can accept with indifference, with a cavalier heart, the eternal torment of most of humanity, the burning, the torture forever and ever of most of humanity. They believe it. The Spirit is saying explicitly, that is, that word explicit in the Greek means gush. That's what I mean. This is the Spirit gushing. That's what it means, explicit, gush. The Spirit now is telling Paul, get the hell out of my way, that some will be withdrawing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. I told you that there are more spirits in the religious world than there are in any other sinful place you can imagine. I've given you my list, bars, strip joints, drug houses, whatever you want. The deceiving, there are no deceiving spirits there. They're just antagonistic spirits in some of those places, not all. I'm not going to go through the list and give you exactly what kind of spirits are there. But these are deceiving spirits. These are spirits who are going to look nice. They're going to look pure. And they're going to have a veneer of righteousness and light, but they're going to be evil. And the teachings of demons. Where are teachings except in places where the emphasis is on education? Sunday school. School, education, school, teaching of demons. There's no teaching going on in a bar or in a strip club or in a drug house. There's no teaching going on there. Where's teaching going on? In colleges? Yes. In schools? Yes. In church? For sure. Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, teaching, teaching, teaching. Teachings of what? Demons. In the hypocrisy, there we are again, the hypocrisy of false expressions, deceiving spirits, put out hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying one thing, but being an entirely different way. It is disguising oneself as a messenger or as a patron or as a supporter of light and truth and Christ and God and grace and peace, but belying it by agreeing mentally and verbally with eternal torment. They're okay with it. They are okay with it. Huh? At best, they'll shrug. At best, they'll say, I don't have to like it, but that's what God says. And when you tell them, no, it's not what God says, look, one level below the surface, they don't bother to do it because they're content and they're happy with that. For one thing, they did not create the beings that are going to be tormented for eternity. They didn't create humanity. They have no vested interest in it because, again, they're hard. Their own conscience, this is what I mentioned at the outset here, having been cauterized. That word in the Greek means burned. It's just been burned off, like singed. You know, when you take a match and burn the end of a rope, it's just singed, it's just cut off. And here's where Paul comes back. This is just me. I just saw this today. This is just me. Paul gives an example of this, and he says, forbidding to marry and abstaining from foods, which God creates to be partaken of with thanksgiving by those who believe and realize the truth, seeing that every creature of God is ideal and nothing is to be cast away, being taken with thanksgiving, for it is hallowed through the word of God. He's talking about food. He's literally talking about, this is where the Spirit is smarter than Paul. And Paul's like back in the regular type inspiration now. And he's saying, speaking of how people are going to be withdrawing from the faith and giving heed to deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons. And somebody said, Paul, how bad is it going to get? Give us some examples. And Paul says, well, they're actually going to forbid people to marry, i.e. the Catholic Church. And they're going to get this, they're going to abstain from foods. They're going to tell you that it's a sin to eat certain foods. It's like, that's the worst thing Paul can come up with. And then he goes on, speaking of creatures. He speaks of foods created by God to be partaken of, talking about creatures that are to be consumed, creates to be partaken of with thanksgiving by those who believe and realize the truth, seeing that every creature of God is ideal and nothing to be cast away. If I am going to now apply this to our era, and Paul, I don't think, was aware of the doctrine of eternal torment. I don't think that it was the worst thing. Like when I was in school, the worst thing in school was if you chewed gum. You went to the principal's office for chewing gum. Or if you talked in class, or you passed a note to somebody, or you yanked on the girl's ponytail on the seat in front of you. That was the worst crime in public school. Now, of course, you know what's happening in public school. Drugs and shootings and guns, they're killing people. So Paul can't even imagine what it's going to be like in our era. So he's talking about creatures of God created by God being ideal. I'm going to take that and I'm going to apply it to human beings. I don't think Paul's applying it to human beings here, but that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to substitute human being for creature. And now listen to how this reads. Which God creates to be partaken of with thanksgiving by those who believe and realize the truth, seeing that every human being of God is ideal, and nothing is to be cast away, being taken with thanksgiving, for it is hallowed through the word of God and pleading. It's hallowed. Every human being is hallowed in the sense that it is of God. Every human being is created by God. Every human being is not presently a child of God. They don't have a familial relationship with Him, but yet they are His creatures. And in some sense, they are to be partaken of with thanksgiving by those who believe. We who believe, we who have the faith of Christ, we should be able to partake with thanksgiving even in those who do not yet. I'm talking about the public intercourse with people and our dealings with our fellow human beings. We're to be gracious. We're to be kind. And yet, of course, the Christians are so hypocritical that they put on a pretense of being kind. But if in their mind, most of the people are going to hell for eternity, why should they even be gracious to those people? Why should they even give them the time of day? Because you become what your doctrine is. You become what your opinion of humanity is. Whatever opinion you have of humanity in your heart, in your mind, when it comes to your behavior, your deportment in front of that human being, you're going to somehow look down your nose at them or disrespect them or out and out insult them. But no creature is to be cast away. And Paul's talking about animals. He's talking about cows and sheep. And pheasants and turkeys and chickens and fish. Crabs, shrimp. Don't cast them away. Jesus Christ was careful not to lose any fish or bread, loaves of bread. When he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, they gathered the fragments. Yet we're told that God is not going to gather the fragments of the human race. He's going to discard forever the fragments left over of the human race. He cares more about fish and loaves of bread than he does human beings. That's how badly the conscience of these people has been burned. That's how hard their hearts are. That's how much they've withdrawn from the faith. That's the degree to which they have given in. They have heeded deceiving spirits. And this is the extent to which they have accepted the teaching of demons and the hypocrisy of false expressions. You want to hear a false expression? Eternal torment. That's a false expression. It's aeonian chastisement. Eternal torment. Eternal is a mistranslation. God would never put out the hypocrisy of a false expression. False expression. I mentioned free will. That's a false expression. The evil word free is put in with the good word will, and it becomes a false hypocritical expression. Same with eternal torment. Torment is a biblical teaching, but eternal torment is not. So it's a false expression that has been engendered and furthered, published by bad translations, and my people more than willing to put those bad translations out if they confirm, if they tickle their hearing. Because believe me, these people want the rest of the human race to be tormented for eternity. And it's so interesting how Paul at the end here, and I don't even think, he doesn't even see this. We see this. He's talking about, oh my God, it's going to get so bad, they're going to forbid people from marrying, and they're going to not accept some foods. Oh, Paul, if you could just see us now, I'm glad you can't. Paul says this in verse 9, the same context. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all welcome. And I think it was to Paul, it was a coincidence that God put this in here. But it follows perfectly from what I just told you. Faithful is the saying, verse 9, and worthy of all welcome, for this are we toiling and being reproached, that we rely on the living God, who is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. These things be charging and teaching. These things were common teaching in that day. Even in the first 300 years of the faith, of the new Christian religion, these things were common teaching that Jesus Christ was the Savior of all humanity. It was only later, after Jerome and Augustine translated scriptures from Greek to Latin, that the word aeternum, the Latin word, snuck in as a substitute for the Greek word aeonion, and it just threw a wrench into the beautiful spinning wheels of God's revelation and the beautiful aeonian plan of God to eventually, through the death of his Son, return all creation to himself, got derailed. And we have now entered the era that the Holy Spirit shoved Paul out of the way and said, in subsequent eras, some will be withdrawing from the faith. Yeah, Paul, it's incredibly worse than even you imagined. And we are holding on here, my friend. And I know that when you raise from the dead and we meet you and you meet us, we are going to be so happy and thankful to see you. But I believe you're going to be astounded to meet us, that we at we have somehow hung on to the faith in the midst of all this evil, in the midst of being surrounded by people who claim to be of the faith of Christ, of the Spirit of God, and yet they know not what spirit they are of, because they hold in their hearts the happy thought that most of humanity, at least those who are enemies of God now and their enemies as well, will be burned in hell for eternity. They have no conscience. They have some conscience, but it's been cut off, it's been seared, it's been burned. They have only an inkling of the Spirit of God in them, enough to stand on their two feet and for their hearts to beat, but their hearts do not beat for God. They don't know God. What they do know is that most of humanity will be burned in hell for eternity. I'm telling you, they believe it. Avoid them.